Welcome to Blondie and the Brit, Writing, Publishing, and Beyond. You can find our show notes and more information about our podcast at blondieandbrit.com. That's BLONDIEANDBRIT.com. Welcome to Blondie and the Brit podcast. I am Blondie, KJ Waters.
And I'm Suzanne Cowman, I'm the Brit.
And together we're Blondie and the Brit.
Yay!
Woohoo! I am the author of Stealing Time.
And I'm the author of The Rejected Writer's Book Club.
Tom Nichols' career spans 50 years of the criminal justice system, with assignments ranging from patrol officer to vice and organized crime to canine and helicopter. Tom's writing career of novels and screenplays brought together his previous experience to a new world of producers and publishers. He has 4 published books and has co-written several screenplays. His novels are Color of Prism, The Third Dawn, Voices in the Fog, Sweet Emily, and they're all available on Amazon. Welcome, Tom.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be with you, ladies, both of you this morning. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, me too. It's exciting to have you here. Should we call you Chief? You were the Chief of Police, right?
I was at the rank of Chief for 29 years.
Wow.
Deputy Chief in Tucson, Arizona. And then chief for the city of Lubbock. And then after I retired from municipal policing and really began my writing career, then I went to work as the chief of police in the Lubbock School District Police Department.
Oh, cool.
Did that for another 22 years and then retired. So now I'm retired and write and travel.
Great.
Wow, well, thank you for your service. That's amazing. Well done.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I really enjoyed it. It's been wonderful. It's been a great career.
So how many years were you called chief? It sounds like 40-something. I don't know.
Well, I was called chief for 29 years and did a total of 49 and a half years of policing.
Good Lord.
Long
career. Wow.
That is amazing. Well, welcome. We're very excited to have you. I bet you have a huge wealth of knowledge, and we're hoping to tap into that. We have a lot of people who are crime writers that follow us, and hoping that you can add some depth to their research and writing and that kind of thing. So I guess I'm curious, too, how did you make the transition from being police chief into writing full time? That's a pretty big difference in roles.
Well, in one way, it is a huge difference. In the other way, it was just a natural transition, because I have to back all the way up and age myself a little bit. But in the 1970s, I was very active in police research, working at that time for the Tucson Police Department.
Oh.
And I did huge research projects, developing policy, developing organizational structure, developing procedures. And so I did a lot of technical writing for that police department and then for several other police departments. And then I published some articles in professional journals. So I had a lot of technical writing background, which was work, and it was nice because it was paid work.
Yeah.
But then after I retired from municipal policing, I had a lot more free time with school district policing. I wasn't working 24/7. And that's when I took up what I really enjoyed doing, was writing novels. Most of my novels are based, they're not really autobiographical, but I've selected bits and pieces of my career, careers of people I've worked with over the years, and developed them into some very successful novels. It's been a lot of fun.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that was our next question. How much of your books are based on actual true stories that you experienced?
Well, my very first book is called Color of the Prism, P-R-I-S-M, Color of the Prism. And during part of my career in Arizona, I worked in the Special Investigations Division, which covered organized crime, vice, and narcotics. And I was in there as a lieutenant and as a captain. And so what I was able to do after I retired, I took a lot of bits and pieces from many cases, folded them together, and somewhat autobiographical. Then I developed one book on what it's like to send one person by themselves, deep undercover, into a cartel.
Oh, wow. That is exciting.
So that book did, and is still doing well, sold the movie rights to it.
Yeah.
The screenplay has been written, but the movie has never been made. Had a price tag of $35 million on it, so it hasn't been picked up yet. But, yeah, hey, we can always hope.
Wow.
The theory is enjoy the journey.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us who, you've told me, but tell us who has picked up the movie.
Well, the movie rights were picked up by Tarantino Productions.
Yeah.
Now, that is Tony Tarantino, who is the father of Quentin Tarantino.
Yes, pretty exciting there. And what is the process? What stage are you in right now?
Well, it's been, the screenplay is written. I had editorial rights on the screenplays. Screenplay is finished. And now it's just a matter of finding somebody to fund a $35 million project. And that's not easy. That's a lot of work. And hope it happens. It would certainly augment a little retirement check.
Ah, this is true.
The saying goes, enjoy the journey. We have traveled with that book to New York City, Las Vegas, Hollywood, several trips to Hollywood. We attended a lot of meetings, parties in Hollywood. So it has certainly been a fun experience. And the book has sold well. And hopefully someday the movie will make. And that would just be the cherry on top of the cake.
Absolutely. Well, Suzanne is a producer and a screenwriter. Why don't you guys, Suzanne?
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you, how did they hear about your book? How did it come to the Tarantinos?
Well, it's so strange is that, as all writers know, you send your books to agents and publishers, and you know what a rejection letter looks like without even opening the envelope. And
right.
So I tried self-marketing on the internet, and everybody told me you can't do anything like that, you're wasting your money. And I spent a total of $900. Turned out to be the best investment I ever made.
Wow.
And I made contact with a policeman I had never heard of in my life in San Jose, California, who had bought the book and read it and liked it, and who had his own private little company doing aerial photography for movie companies. And so we communicated, then one thing led to another, and next thing I know, my wife and I were at a Sunday afternoon party in the Hollywood Hills. I was the only person there with the book for sale. Everybody else was a director, producer, finance manager. So it was a fun day.
I'll bet. Now, when you say you marketed on the internet, tell us what you were doing. Were you advertising somewhere, or were you on Facebook? How did you?
Well, this is going back several years before I was even on Facebook.
Yeah.
And so what I did was I would not do spam. I would not send 10, 20, 30 people an email. What I did was write a small blurb, about 3 or 4 sentences about me and the book. So I had to be very concise. And then I went to police readers, mystery readers, that type of thing, groups. And it doesn't take long to start picking up a few sales. And you never know. I think the farthest I ever sold a book was in Latvia.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Been to Latvia. But nevertheless, one thing led to another, and the book sold, and then the movie company redid the book cover for me. It was a cover I had designed myself, which was a foolish and ugly cover. So the movie company developed a new cover for the book, and hopefully someday they will come up with $35 million. But in the meantime, I enjoyed the journey on that. But I've also written 3 other books that are on the market, and then I am into another book that is with an agent now, and then I have another book about 1/3 of the way complete in my computer. So
wow,
you don't know how to retire, Tom.
So you're so active.
I love it.
Yeah, I love writing. In fact, one of your interviews on your blog with a man by the name of Sadler.
Yes,
we actually talked about him with you. Yeah,
and I listened to that, and he's in Tucson, which is my old stomping grounds.
Yeah.
Book is set in the Tucson Police Department, where I put in a career retiring as deputy chief. And I've had several book signings in Tucson. So Tucson has always been good to me career-wise for my police career, but also career-wise for my writing career.
Well, we need to hook you two up because he is also a writer for Suspense Magazine. He wrote up my book, Stealing Time, and put it in there. So it's a nice little way to get your name out there. And then, of course, you can share the post. He did a really good job of, you know, making a concise blurb for the book and just another way to get it out there. So I think you two would have a great conversation. He goes along with the police department and
maybe like a ride-along sort of thing?
The word I'm looking for. He does that for research and gets himself into these situations. So I'm sure you two could have a great conversation.
Well, that would be a lot of fun. And something I've been doing to keep my search and stay timely and everything. Of course, I still am a lifetime member of several of the major national and international police organizations. So I read a fair amount. But anytime I am thinking about a book, we will travel to that country or city here in the States where that book is going to be focused and get an on-the-ground feeling for the atmosphere, for the culture, for the feelings, for everything. And so that has been great because we've traveled all over Greece and Turkey, Eastern Europe, Mideast, Ireland, and certainly all over the United States. But that helps so much to write a book, but to walk down the actual streets that you're writing in your novel.
Yes.
Yeah,
totally. Now, does that influence where you what you decide to write about? Because, like, if I had the choice, I'd write about Bermuda and just go, like Suzanne and I go spend a week there.
That's the book I'm working on right now is will be the third in the series of the Christy Cole mystery story. It'll be the third and last.
Mm-hmm.
And it is going to be set in Russia. Well, the best way to get a feel for Russia is we went spent 2 weeks in Russia.
Cool.
Wow.
You're living the life, man.
Yeah.
I love that.
Good, and writing has been good to us. A police career has been good to us. And so we enjoy it. And I still always come back and say, enjoy the journey, because you don't know where any of these books or trips are going to take you. And not every book has been a resounding success.
Yeah. Well, and sometimes, like, we've talked to a lot of different authors. The ones that they liked the best sold the worst. The ones that they were just kind of like halfway into ended up being the bigger seller. So you just don't know, you know, some of it is exposure as well. You know, you get just the right person to look at it and then it expounds from there. So you never know.
We have just done well with writing and, of course, taking some good trips. And the one I'm working on right now, with tentatively titled, just so I can find it in the computer, is The Spy Who Loved Me.
Oh,
and yeah.
It's set in Moscow, St. Petersburg. So that was kind of the storyline I came up with. And then we went to Moscow and everything in between Moscow and St. Petersburg. So it's wonderful. In fact, I've been to St. Petersburg twice, because if you have a chance, it is a beautiful city to visit.
Wow. That is exciting to be able to do all this traveling.
So I would ask you a quick question, because I did see that you are you screenwriting as well as writing novels? And if you are, what is the process like for you? How is that different?
Well, writing screenplays is related to but entirely different than writing a manuscript. And, you know, I had to stumble and fumble as I worked through screenplays, but as a result of that very first contact with a cop in San Jose, and then we teamed up with a police officer in New York City. So the three of us worked together on two or three different screenplays, and the one I wrote was Vote Pedro. If you remember the movie Napoleon Dynamite.
Yep.
Yeah.
Vote Pedro. Well, that was the title of one of my police one-hour TV shows, which is still on the market, along with a couple of others that the three of us have co-written. We've had a lot of fun with it.
That is cool. But
also important is we've met a lot of different people. We've had some good times, and we spent a little bit of money, made a little bit of money, and some days didn't make a little bit of money.
That's how it works, isn't it?
That's how it works. Yeah, exactly. But you found that which do you enjoy the most? Do you enjoy novel writing or screenwriting the most, would you say, or is it just different?
They're really tremendously different. I probably enjoy screenplay writing better, but I also say screenplay writing is more difficult than manuscript writing.
Right.
Yeah.
Why do you feel that's more difficult? Just because you have to get a story in a faster amount of time, or just the structure? Yeah. Or what do you find challenging about that?
You really have to. Well, I learned the term write white.
Right.
Which meant in screenplays particularly, you leave a lot of space. Of the director to have room in there to make notes and so forth and set the scene, but don't get too vividly clear on it because the director will do that, or art director or whatever. And you try to project the scene, but don't develop it down to the dotting the I's and crossing the T's. And leave it. So anyway, but writing a one-hour television show is about 42 pages of screenplay, 43 pages maybe. And writing a movie script is about 90 pages total. And it may go up a couple, it may drop down a few, but somewhere around 90. And whereas in a manuscript, I would say my typical manuscript is about 100 to 110,000 words.
Yeah.
So, wow.
A lot of difference.
Yeah. So a big difference, yeah, totally. And that's great advice for people, because I think sometimes people who write books think, oh, I'll just make this into a, you know, I'll just do this, make this into a screenplay. And it isn't that easy, because you really have to be cautious with your words. You can't really get into the same detail in a screenplay. You're so true. So that kind of leads us nicely into the next question, which is, tell us a little bit about your writing process. Do you have a process that you stick to? Do you do it every day? Just tell us a little bit about that for you.
Well, originally my goal was to write each and every day. And I'm just not that disciplined right now to write every day, because I have so many different responsibilities, and we've just been really, really busy with a number of things besides my books. But I hope in the next 2 weeks to get free of some of our other obligations and get back to writing. And then I prefer to write each and every day. And I don't have a specific amount of time I target to write. But what I have this term, it's my own term for myself, is I slap the keys.
And that's a good one.
You may not really know exactly where you want to go, and you just have to get in, jump in the lake, and start swimming. And while you may find out you need to change your stroke or change your direction or something, but that is how, even if I'm really not in the mood to write, how I get myself to write and get back into the flow, the storyline, get inside the heads of the characters. And so even if I'm not in the mood, yes, we will write.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, and do you get up in the morning? Do you have a certain time that you write, or just whenever you can fit the time in?
Well, actually, the very best time to write for me is early in the morning before the whole world is up and going crazy. But I also find that just with age and so forth, that I find exercise is very important. So I exercise each and every morning for roughly an hour or so. And then one day a week, Thursday, it's my golf day. Mm-hmm. And so I've gone from home 4, 5, 6 hours to go out to country club and play golf and have lunch with friends. So some days it's very little and some days it's a lot.
That's good.
Well, no, that's great. So you say, tell us a little bit about the book that you're working on. You actually mentioned it a bit earlier in the interview, but tell us a little bit about the premise of the story.
Okay. The storyline is our lead character is Christy Cole. She's a mid-30s, late-30s female FBI agent who's been drafted into the International Joint Terrorism Task Force. And so when she's not on task force duty, she's stationed at the FBI Academy in Quantico, Virginia, where I have attended a couple of different sessions. And so her work has taken her around the United States, and the very first was Voices in the Fog. The second book is The Arrows of Allah, and that's the one. And then the third book will be the one set in Moscow. And so, at this point, after I finish this third book, then I will close her down and let her go retire from the FBI. And
give her a rest.
You're not going to kill her off, are you? You're not going to kill the poor girl off.
not going to kill her off, no.
Great, that sounds wonderful. How difficult is it for you writing in a female mind? I mean, because that is an interesting... I've had that challenge when I'm writing as a man.
Yes, it is. And so the very first one, Voices in the Fog, some people in my writing friends ask me, why in the world would I take a feminine perspective, feminine point of view, to, even though it's my business, my professional business, I would not have the same point of view as a woman. However, my wife is a quasi-editor for me, and she would straighten me out.
I bet she got some insight into how a man's mind works. I can just picture some of the conversations you two had.
Yeah, right, exactly right. But we had a lot of fun doing it, and the book has done actually very well. And one of the points you mentioned earlier, sometimes some of the books you expect to do the least end up doing so well. Mm-hmm. The Voices in the Fog really just stumbled out of the starting block. And I thought, well, that's going to go nowhere. But in the last year, 18 months, Voices in the Fog has just taken off. And so it's doing wonderful.
Great.
So I've got a meeting with the book club here at the university here in another 4 or 5 weeks, and they want to discuss 2 or 3 of my books.
Ooh.
That's wonderful.
That's exciting. And so is that like a book club situation where they read it and then you talk about it like that, or is this something else?
Exactly. It's friends, and they read together, critique books, and have book discussions. So they've asked me to bring a couple of my books and be at one of their homes one night and sit around and probably have a glass of wine and chat about a couple of books and talk a little bit about how we're talking right now.
I know.
How do you do this? Why do you do this? What do you hope to get out of it? What's your goals? And that type of thing.
That's interesting. That should be fun. Tell me afterwards how that goes. I'd like to hear what they say.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. It'll be fun. But overall, books are doing well. One of my books, called The Third Dawn, is the only one that's not in my genre of my profession. The Third Dawn refers to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it is a novel on the life of Christ as seen by his guardian angel.
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, interesting premise.
A little unique, and some people ask me, Tom, how did you go from mystery espionage to Jesus Christ?
It's a bit of a leap.
an attorney friend told me, he thought, well, that was my... How is that cleansing my own conscience from writing some of the stuff that I write?
Oh, he must have read your other books.
Yeah,
that's pretty funny.
But writing has been very good to us. And then one of the books we have not mentioned is Sweet Emily. And something I try to do in all the books is to leave a little clue here and there throughout the book on what's going to happen. A little foreshadowing if you're really perceptive. And I really made an effort in Sweet Emily, which is a serial murder case set in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. And I've intentionally dropped clues early on in the book and throughout the book, maybe four or five different places, a real clue as to who is the serial murderer. I have never found one person who read this book who hit on any of the clues.
That's so interesting.
You try to do that in yours too, don't you, KJ?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Breadcrumbs, yeah.
The cool thing, though, is that when somebody, they've read it once, then the second time they read it, it pulls them to read the second one because you tell them there's clues, and they're like, crud, I missed them. They go back and look at them. I've had people read my books twice, and they still haven't figured out, like, their clues for mine are clues to book two. And people come up with all these theories about what they think is going to happen, and not yet anyone has been right. And even if they were right, I might have changed it just so that they weren't right. But it's been really fun. I love doing that in my books, too. It's like a little secret you have that you're keeping from the reader.
In Sweet Emily, one of the clues is so obvious, it just screams. Nobody has hit upon that. At that point, I think, it's so obvious people can't see the forest for the trees. Because the other clues are they're kind of innuendo, implications, so forth, and nobody's picked it up. However, let me back up to my first book, Color of the Prism. I had a challenge in writing that because this book has a non-traditional ending. Okay. And I will leave that up to you to define.
Oh, he's teasing
dun, dun,
it.
Dun, dun, dun.
I love that.
Wow, now we all have to go out and buy it now.
Shoot.
I'm really fortunate that Writer's Digest picked it up and did a review on it.
Oh.
And they critiqued it in their book. They critiqued like half a dozen or eight pages they presented in the pages of the book and critiqued it and, showed where using track changer, a lot of suggested changes, although they liked the book. And then they sent me a certificate along with their commentary. And the commentary really pleased me because, number one, it was positive. Number two, whoever wrote the commentary said, really did not like the ending of the book. But after he put the book down and started thinking about it, then he changed his mind that that was the only way to complete that book.
Wow. Ooh, validation. That's got to be good.
It's kind of cool.
So Color of Prism did and is doing very, very well.
Good.
Right.
Wow, this is wonderful. We love that you've had this new lease of life after the career that you had, and you're really enjoying it. And that really comes across in what you're saying, and that's wonderful.
It has been fun. It is fun. And if ever stops being fun, I'll stop writing.
There you go.
That's Suzanne's motto. If it isn't fun,
it's not fun, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Cool.
You know, I just thought of something. What is the most intriguing case that you worked on as a police chief? And you can interpret that however you want.
I'll leave it fairly broadly, but I will say one specific serial murder case. So that was many different murders committed by one or two people. And a very interesting case to work, had a lot of public notice about it. Actually, two different serial murder cases, one in Texas and one in Arizona. Uh-huh. And they're entirely different than each other, although there are many dead people in the track these people walked. But, serial murder case is just really interesting. Psychologically, it's interesting, you know, why did this nut do this?
Yeah.
Right.
And get away with it so many different times, too. Obviously, they're doing something right to be, you know. So, now, how long were these cases, how long did they go on before you caught them, or were they still unsolved?
Well, one lasted quite a few years, several years. And the other probably lasted 6 or 8 months, something like that.
Uh-huh.
But they're interesting. You know, you try to get to the person's head who's committing these murders, because generally on a serial murder, you don't realize it's a serial murderer until you're well along into one death and then another death and then another death. And then with people from other departments, other states, you start tying things together and then at some point bring them to fruition. There are probably a lot of serial murderers out there that we've never heard of.
Yeah.
And who will never be caught.
Wow.
Unfortunately.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
But I believe that serial killing is quite unique. That doesn't have, there's not a lot of that, right? Really? That tends to be on the less, people tend to kill that way.
Mm-hmm. I think so, yes.
Yeah, let's hope so. Wow.
Yeah. Well, that's why it's so interesting, those, because you get the person that is able to, first of all, wants to do that and has such a messed up mind that that is their desire to keep pursuing this, and then they get away with it. You have to have some level of intelligence. I mean, the whole Silence of the Lambs thing where the guy is like a genius, but an evil genius, and trying to do, you know, all these things that keep him, you know, safe from being caught. Did you ever watch the show Dexter? You know, I have to bring this up every time I talk to a crime author.
I don't know whether I've seen Dexter. I know I've heard of it, but I don't know if I've seen it or not.
It's my favorite show that has ever aired on anything, because I'm not so into like all the blood and gore and the, you know, the scary serial killer stuff, but the main character is the serial killer, except for he's a good guy. They've turned it around. He works for the police department as a blood splatter expert. And the people that get through the system, that get off because of a technicality or get out of jail because they lied or something, he finds them and does them in. So the world is a better place.
That's hysterical.
It's a great premise. And it's the thing I like about the show is not necessarily any of that I just said. It is the way that they up the ante. As soon as you think the worst possible thing happened, they go up like 10 more levels. And I've tried to do that in my books, too, where you think, oh, the character's about to, you know, have this terrible thing happen to him. And then you think, well, what could be worse than that? And then you do that 5 more times. So I've learned a lot from that show and how to just make the suspense and drag it out and make it into something a lot more than it could have been. Like I tell Suzanne sometimes that my character went to bed happy. And I'm like, no.
Sweet Emily is not only the serial murder cases I was personally aware of or had been exposed to, but I did research on probably 10, 12, 15 different serial murderers throughout the United States in the last 30 or 40 years. And then so I just pulled bits and pieces from all these different serial murder cases and then wrapped them up into one serial murder focused in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And so that's the novel. So a lot of the parts in there are true. And the idea of writing a manuscript is you weave together some creative thinking from one fact here to another fact there, and in the end, you end up with a completed novel.
Yeah, that's cool. Now, tell us, too, one of the questions that we were thinking about asking you was about how you do your research. How are you finding this? Do you have special tools because you were in the police department, or do you use Google like the rest of us?
Well, Google is easy to do, and there is a lot of information on Google. But I maintain an active membership in a number of associations, plus I have quite a few personal contacts that we can just call and talk to each other and get filled in between the lines, so to speak. So it really helps. So having the contacts, having the profession, and reading the professional journals that come out every month,
That's good. Yeah. So you have a little inside track with
your... So for people that don't have that, though, Tom, is there anything that you would recommend that they could do if you were starting out as a crime writer? Is there anything, any groups that you think might be helpful to them at all?
I think for any writer, they have to have an intense passion for their topic and for the skill of writing. And then, say a person wants to write mystery, espionage, and they have never been in it in their life, certainly just research and joining writers' groups, whatever. I think it would be difficult to do. Now, I'm aware of Mark, who you interviewed recently, and he wrote what I think appears to be a pretty good novel.
Yeah.
And he's not a cop, but one way or another, he's gotten himself really well indoctrinated into the police world, and that's good.
Yeah.
And a person just needs to do that. Now, you know, fortunately, we have had the advantage of traveling, and it really helps to, whether your murder is set in Tucumcari, New Mexico, or Moscow, Russia. It helps to have gone there, walked the streets, had coffee in the cafe, had a burger wherever, and just get the feel of the city. And that doesn't take any experience, but it does take time, and it does take a cash outlay.
Yep, that's true. So sell more books so you can travel the world and write about it, right? That works for me. That's my plan. How about you, Suzanne?
Oh, yeah, I'm there. I'm with you, girl. Let's do it.
Let's do it. I think we need to do podcasts and, like, a 10-country tour.
Every country of the year, every country in the world we're going to podcast from.
Some of those countries I don't really want to go to, Suzanne.
Well, yeah, okay, maybe not all the countries in the world. You're right.
How about the good countries? Top 10. We'll just do a list. We can start in England. You can go see your family.
There we go.
We have travels, and the book that's with an agent right now is set in Palestine, or Israel, I should say. Israel, and what we refer to as the Holy Land. But it's a spy book, but set there in this, what is supposed to be a holy area of the world, and also one of the most violent sections of the world. But then we went there and spent about 2 weeks there. And still, you get so much feel. And then you take that feel, and then you try to write that feel.
Wow.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It doesn't always work.
Well, you do your best.
Yeah, you do what you can do with what you've got. And you just have to, whatever your topic is, whether it's romance or sci-fi, you have to associate with people, groups, professional literature in that field, and give it your best shot.
Yep.
You'll never succeed if you don't try.
That's a good point.
Totally.
That's a good point.
Good point.
All right, let's lightning round him, Suzanne.
Yeah, it's lightning round him. So what we're going to do now, Tom, is we're going to ask you 10, I'm going to ask you 10 questions that are just like a one or two word answer. And it's just a fun way to get to know you a little bit better as a person. And they're pretty simple questions. So are you up for it?
Hey, have at it.
Okay. Okay, first question. What is your favorite band or artist?
Oh, U2.
Ooh.
Oh, cool. I love U2. Now, West Coast or East Coast? What would be your favorite?
Oh, West Coast. San Diego.
No, San Diego's beautiful. That's one of my favorite places in the whole world. You can go there any time of the year. It's just perfect. It's just a great place to be. Yeah. What is your favorite writing spot?
I built a home office where I am right this moment, and this is my favorite writing spot.
Cool.
Lovely. Do you have a view from your office?
The neighbor's fence.
Woo!
Is that very inspirational? I guess not, huh?
No. But I like to listen to music. In fact, this may sound stupid, but when I write, I like to listen to Alice in Chains.
Oh, my gosh. I would not have picked that for you. Wow.
No, you see, KJ, you just never know.
That's right. That's why I like this lightning round. You learn new things.
You learn something new about people. So, next question. Are you a pantser or a plotter? Do you know what that means?
No.
Okay. Do you write fast in one go and then edit, or do you plot everything out and then write more methodically?
No, I write and then edit.
You're a pantser.
Firmly write something and let it go for a week or two before you ever look at it again, and then go back and go, what was I writing?
Or, this is brilliant. It could go both ways.
Yeah, sometimes I laugh at it. I go, gosh, this was good. Did I write this? Love that. That's my favorite experience.
Me too.
Not always that way, though. You're so true. If you could be transported back in time, Tom, where would you go?
Oh my gosh. I don't think I would go anywhere.
Wow.
No, I'm good.
You like where you are.
Wow, that's so cool. We've never had anyone say that.
Very
well. Well, there you go. Okay, if you had a superpower, what would you want it to be?
If I have a superpower, I would really love to be a really good writer.
Oh.
Oh, that's what it sounds like. You're already doing pretty good at that one.
Exactly.
So. Who inspires you? Who or what inspires you?
Oh, I'll go all the way back to when I was in college. Dr. Martha Howard. And I took English classes from her. I took philosophy classes, humanities classes from her, classes I didn't even need. But she was such a great educator, Dr. Martha Howard, years ago.
I love that. I love that even, you know, she's obviously probably dead and gone by now, I'm guessing. But it's like even now she's had that effect on you. And it just shows how important our teachers are. I love that you shared that.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. What is your favorite writing or author moment so far in your career?
Oh, it's when Color of the Prism just took off, when everybody said I was wasting my time and money, I didn't know what I was doing, and it actually succeeded far beyond what I ever expected from it.
Awesome.
That's wonderful. How cool is that? One thing you wish you'd been told about being a writer?
Oh, the work of marketing. Marketing is, and all the time you're marketing, you're not writing, you're not being creative. Well, you are being creative, finding other ways to market. But marketing is really the business end, the book business. And it takes time and talent.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, it's true. Which book do you wish you had written?
Oh, my goodness. I'm really an Ian Rankin fan, and I love his books. I would love to write, I would love to have a success with a book like he has had. He, Daniel Silva, great writers, writers I love to read. And if I could ever write like they do, I would really be a happy, happy person.
That's cool.
Wonderful. And that's it. That's all we've got for you.
Okay, this has been fun.
Yeah.
This has been a great fun. You've been such a delight to interview. And I love your passion and just how much you love what you're doing. It's really encouraging.
You've got to enjoy what you're doing. And some days, the days are not long enough, but you just do with what you've got.
That's right. That is a great attitude. And thank you, Tom. From this half of Blondie and the Brit, has been a joy to interview and get to know you a little bit more. We will definitely be in touch as your new book, your new projects come out. Sounds like you've got one in an agent and one that's being written. So keep in touch.
I will. Absolutely.
Sounds good. Yeah. Thank you for joining us on Blondie and the Brit today. Next week, please join us for Rachel Thompson. She is a Bad Redhead Media social media queen. She also writes for the Huffington Post. And if you have social media questions, this is the place to find them. So join us next week. You can find our show notes and more information about our podcast at blondieandbrit.com. That's BLONDIEANDBRIT.com.